Chapter 2, page 981, starting at verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Straight over to Mikey.
May I add my welcome to Tom's. Really good to see you all here this Thursday lunchtime. Well, there are various times in life, aren't there, when we wonder, what's going to keep me going? Maybe when our workload is just off the chart. We've got back-to-back meetings all day, maybe exams, maybe our emails and to-do lists just go on for pages and pages. And we ask, oh, just what's going to keep me going through to the end of it all? But if we're here as a follower of Jesus today, I wonder if we've asked that question about the Christian life. What will keep me going in, say, 10 years' time? Will I still be going as a Christian? What about in 50 years' time? Maybe we'd like to hope that we're still going. But what will it be that really keeps us going right to the end? Because it can be tough amidst the challenges of following Jesus to keep going. Lots of people have a pretty tough experience, a lonely experience as a Christian. In the workplace, for instance, maybe people roll their eyes whenever Christianity is brought up. We feel a bit isolated or discouraged. Or perhaps we're just feeling quite weary as a Christian. And the thought of sort of keeping up all our involvement at church, workplace ministry, whatever else it might be, just feels quite overwhelming. So what will keep Christians going? Can Christians keep going? Even if you're here just looking into Christian things, perhaps you might have asked that question as well. Maybe you've wondered whether Christianity is just a bit of a fad for people. Maybe people take it up for a few years and then it will wear off. But today we see that actually the opposite is true. God will make sure that anyone who has really put their trust in Jesus will stick with Christianity to the end. We're going to dive into our passage in Philippians 2, and we'll see what it is that keeps Christians going. You'll see the Apostle Paul's encouragement spread over the two main points on the handout there. He's saying, keep working in light of your salvation, knowing that God is working in us. So first of all, keep working in light of your salvation. Have a look down to verse 12 of chapter 2, if you would. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The Philippians had started well as Christians. Paul says they've always obeyed. But that doesn't mean, he says, that they can now sit back and take their foot off the pedal, spiritually speaking. Paul has been their mentor, but he's writing to them now from prison. He's aware that he may not see the Philippians again. He may even be executed. But he's saying, even without me around, with Paul out of the picture, he wants them to keep going as Christians, to keep pressing on. My beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work, he says. He wants them to be like the athlete who is keeps training, even when the session is over and the coach has gone home. But what are they to be working at? Well, last week we saw Paul urging Christians to have Jesus' mindset, to foster that mindset that puts the spiritual needs of others first. Essentially, the work is to be living sacrificially for the gospel, the Christian life. He says, keep working at that. But do you notice he describes it as work out your own salvation? Now, we mustn't misread this. Paul doesn't say, work for your own salvation. That is what other religions ask us to do. You need to work to build up good karma. You need to keep the rules and hope that you've done enough in order to pass and please God. But that is not Christianity. Jesus has already done all of the work of salvation. Jesus alone deals with our sin and makes us right before God. We don't contribute actually anything to our own salvation. We simply trust in the work that Jesus has done on our behalf. So we don't work for our salvation, but Paul does say, work out your own salvation. If we are Christians, we already have salvation, but he's encouraging us here to work in light of it, in light of being saved people. If you're a tennis fan, you'll know that Rafael Nadal has just won a record-extending 22nd Grand Slam title, and he is certainly the undisputed all-time great at the French Open. They call him the King of Clay. He has won that title 14 times. I mean, he was already guaranteed VIP access to their best show court in Paris for life before he entered this tournament. And yet last week, 36 years old, Nadal was still putting in all the hard yards of training, working hard, putting in as much effort as ever as he came out at the French Open. The difference is that he was no longer, I guess, working to prove himself. No, he plays now knowing that his status is secure. He is simply working out his status as appropriate. And it's in that kind of sense in which Christians too should work, should put in the effort. Because of Jesus, the Christian status is already secure. We have already been guaranteed a VIP place in God's best show court. We're citizens of heaven, Philippians says. But the Christian life isn't about just getting a free pass to heaven, getting a sort of ticket that we can put in our back pocket, and then we can sit back and relax for the rest of our lives. Now, that would be like Rafael Nadal turning up at the French Open and just not really trying, not running for any balls or anything like that. It would just be wrong, wouldn't it, given who he is? And similarly, we as Christians should keep working hard to live out our status, working in light of our salvation. It's a motivation for us. You've been saved. Live in light of it. Paul's encouraging us. Don't give up. Don't take your foot off the pedal, spiritually speaking. Don't settle for a lethargic, half-hearted Christian life where we perhaps tamely only limp over the finish line. But perhaps the idea of constantly working out our salvation sounds pretty exhausting and draining in the midst of busy London life. And it is a challenge, isn't it? The thing with living the way that Paul wants us to live, the way that he's encouraging the Philippians to live, this sacrificial life, always putting the needs of others first, their spiritual needs first, that is really hard to do, isn't it? And so we may be asking ourselves, well, am I really able to do this? I see what Paul's asking me to do, but can I really do it? Can I really keep going like that to the end? But we mustn't be overwhelmed, because there is help at hand. And I think verse 13 of chapter 2 is one of the most encouraging verses in the whole Bible that I've come across. If you have a look down at verse 13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for, verse 13, it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. We're on to the second part of our heading. Keep working, Paul's saying, knowing that God is working in us. This is really the answer to the question, what will keep Christians going? Yes, we are called to keep working, but here we see that as we work, it is really God who is working in us. God will keep us going, because as we work, God works. I always enjoy cycling. I cycle to work and everywhere around London whenever I can. But in recent years, those electric bikes have popped up everywhere, haven't they? And to be honest, sometimes they do make me a little bit jealous, because there I am at the lights, ready to go over a bridge, sort of waiting for the hill start, and there's one or two others there. And if you're a cyclist, you'll know everyone's kind of looking around, sort of sizing each other up, saying, well, this guy's in a light gray, he's going to be pretty speedy. And you catch a glimpse of a delivery guy at the back, you say, oh, they shouldn't be any trouble, I'll be faster than them for sure. But then the lights turn green, we're off, and you hear this motor kick in behind you. And the Deliveroo guy just zooms past you all, and he's straight up the hill, because he is on an electric bike. And I am there sort of straining away, having to put in all the effort and energy myself to get up this hill. But the beauty of electric bikes is that this power is unleashed as you start pedaling. As you work, the bike works too. And that is a bit like the Christian life. It's not as though we just sit back and let God do all the work, just as those bikes don't pedal themselves. But as we work, God works. They happen together. As we seek to live sacrificially for Jesus, God's very power is unleashed, enabling the Christian to keep going. Except it is actually even better than that. Have another look at verse 13. It is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. See, Paul's saying that God helps us to will as well as to actually do the work. God is at work in our desire so that we want to live for him, and then he enables us to actually carry it out. It's as though God gives us the will to get on the electric bike in the first place, as well as empowering us once we're pedaling. Isn't that just the most incredible thought, that every time we have even wanted to live for Jesus, if you're a Christian, well, that is evidence of God at work within us. Every time we've even wanted to see the gospel advance in our workplace, every time we've perhaps invited a colleague to a Christian event, whether or not they took it up, every time we've been public about following Jesus, every time we've tried to encourage another Christian or prayed for someone or helped a Christian out, even in the small things, the Almighty Creator God has been at work within us. Isn't that an incredible thought? I think that's why verse 12 speaks of fear and trembling. The thought of God unleashing his power within us, it's meant to make us just go, wow. And I think remembering this makes all the difference when the Christian life is hard. When we hear people rubbishing Christians, maybe in the office, and we're tempted to keep our head down. Well, if we can remember that actually God works through even the weak efforts of people like us, well, then it might help us to consider sticking our necks out and maybe trying to use that conversation as an opportunity. This idea of God working with us, it turns the idea of living publicly as a Christian from something that's predominantly scary, I think, to something that is predominantly exciting. It is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Well, that is the main point of our passage today, the main thrust. Keep working, knowing that God is working in us. But the next few verses flesh out the difference that this should make in the Christian's life. Paul gives some examples of what it might look like in practice to work out Jesus' mindset with God's help. So you'll see the first one on the sheet there. And excuse the rhymes, but hope it might make it memorable. Don't whine to make sure we shine. Please have a look down to verse 14. Paul says, do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. It's easy to grumble when we are finding the Christian life hard. Maybe it's that person, a Christian even, who's getting on our nerves, and we feel the temptation to just sort of pipe them down with a harsh word, or maybe give them the cold shoulder. Or maybe when we're tired and we're tempted to skip church or Bible study and trade building other Christians up for the sofa. Or maybe we feel isolated as a Christian at work because maybe we are not willing to bend the truth to clients or join in with gossip. Maybe living as a Christian means that we are given a bit of a hard time or left out of things, social lunches, or maybe even career opportunities. And we are tempted sometimes to be a bit resentful about being a Christian. But Paul says, do all things, the Christian life, without grumbling. Don't whine, he says. Don't whine as though God is not good. Remember that God is at work helping us. But verse 15 also says that we are to remember who we are. Again, it comes back to this idea of in light of salvation. It reminds us that we are children of God. Christians have been brought into God's family. We are his precious children. God is our Father. But along with that privilege, well, comes responsibility. It was said that when the Queen and her sister, Princess Margaret, were small children and going off to a kid's party one day, the Queen Mother told them, "Now remember, girls, royal children, royal manners." And people would be looking, wouldn't they? They had a responsibility to show the royal family likeness. And similarly, children of God have a responsibility to show God's family likeness to those around us. And a great way to do that is to not grumble, as others will do when we're tempted to, but rather to be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Now, each of those words are packed with meaning. To be blameless means to be above criticism to onlookers. The word innocent there, it doesn't mean sinless. No one is sinless, but it's the idea of having pure motives, being single-minded, sincere and wholesome in character, having a clean conscience. Without blemish, that is the way the Old Testament sacrifices were described. So I guess it's the picture of a life that is worthy, fit to be offered as a sacrifice to God. Now remember, we don't have to conjure all this up on our own. This is the work that God is committed to helping us do. And it is in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. That phrase is quoted from Deuteronomy. It reminds us of the failings of God's people in the Old Testament. Israel was supposed to be distinct from every other people on the earth. But when the going got tough, time and again, they grumbled against God. And they became just like the nations around them, joining in with crooked and twisted ways. But Paul is saying here that we've got an opportunity to be the people of God afresh, the people that God really wants. And because God is at work within us, well, we are not doomed to fail as they were. Sure, we will never be perfect, but we really can live as God's children with God's family likeness. And as we work at this, put effort into this, we really will be distinct from those around us. Verse 15 at the end says, "Among whom you shine as lights in the world." Christians have the opportunity to shine as lights, to be people that point people to God's truth, to show people a better way to live, a different way. Christians will stand out. And sometimes that will mean we feel isolated, I guess, surrounded by the darkness in our office and the wider world. But again, we're meant to see the privilege of this. We can shine. And just as people stop and like to gaze at the stars on a dark night, well, so too, people will be drawn to stop and to notice Christians living these distinct lives. Our lives will be powerful if we keep working like this. They will display the work and power of God. So don't whine to make sure we shine. But one final example of working out our salvation. Hold fast to make sure we last. Verse 16. Holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Paul wants these Christians to keep holding fast to the word of life. That is the gospel message in the Bible. He wants them to hold on to Jesus as the only one who gives life. He wants them to keep running the Christian race, just as he has been. He doesn't want all his labors for them to be in vain. He longs for them to make it to the end, to join him in heaven. And what's going to do that? Well, it's holding fast to God's word. But it's quite striking that this is something that we are to have to work hard at as Christians, holding fast to the Bible, because it is not always easy to do. It takes effort, doesn't it, to not only attend church or a talk or a Bible study, but to really engage with it and seek to build others up. It can be hard to keep up good patterns of reading the Bible for ourselves amidst the busyness of life. But this is the work that God wants us to do, that he will be helping us to desire to do as we put in effort as well. Because holding fast to God's word, well, that is what we need to really make sure that we make it to the end. Like the runners at the Paralympics, if you've ever seen them, who cling on to a guide rope that makes sure that they stay on track to the finish line if they are blind. Well, God's word, that is our guide rope. We are to hold it fast. It's God's promises that will make sure we stay on track to the very end. So it's a good question to be asking. How tight is our grip on God's word? Perhaps when we face struggles or setbacks, even in the good times, where do we turn when anxiety kicks in? Whose voice do we seek first? Paul says that the first place we should be looking is the Bible. Sure, friends and family might help, but only God's word offers true life. So let's hold it fast to make sure we last. And if we are really able to do that, well, it will help us to be shining better and more effectively as well. The word for holding fast also means holding out. And I guess one leads to the other. As we hold fast to God's word, we'll more naturally want to hold it out and tell others of the good news of Jesus. So maybe we are a bit discouraged by a lack of opportunity, by a lack of interest from our colleagues, perhaps. Maybe we've never really felt bold enough to share our faith at all, if we're honest. But Paul says that we are to keep coming back ourselves to God's word. That will be helping us. And that will mean that God is at work within us, giving us fresh courage, fresh conviction to shine out to others. So as we close, I hope this gives us real encouragement to keep going with Jesus. Sometimes we might wonder whether we can keep it all up. But wonderfully, we don't do it in our own strength. Today is a promise that God will be helping us. What a truth that as we take up renewed efforts and keep going, God will be unleashing his power within us and through us. Why don't I close in a short prayer, if I may? Father, thank you so much that as your children work, you are at work. You're at work within us, giving us the right desires and the ability to shine as lights in the world. Please help us, if we're Christians, to hold fast to your word so that we keep going to the very end. In Jesus' name, amen.